thankful for that supply he gave us in the day. I'm telling you, I often thought about Elijah talking about and the woman there that had the one cake left, and how that she gave it to him, and how it never went dry. And I had a feeling, you know, he didn't fill it all the way up, but every time she went there, there was something for her. And, you know, the message, I believe, is the same way. You have to go look, but there'll always be something there for you if you're willing to go look. So let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we have the message, Lord, our barrel of meal and our crucible, Lord, that we can go to and look, and you always supplied our need. And while the world has been in a drought, Lord, for the hearing of the word, Lord, you've always had it there for us. You've always blessed us with it. Lord, may it do the work that you intended it for it to do in this day, Lord. May we surrender to it, Lord, in every way possible. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We're gonna start in and start, like I said last time, we're gonna start winding down on this series. And and even though we've been talking about the soul the whole time, like I said, I feel like maybe we'll get more specific with it as we get to the end here, because I think it's will make a lot. I think it will help us a lot if when we get to the invisible union, which I think is where we're going to end up, that in the messages after that, that I think knowing about the soul will help us to understand those messages more. And just the thought that the Brother Branham waited, well, not Brother Branham, but God waited to almost the last message before he told us about, you know, he brought the harvest time and he told us in there that we were going to have this oneness. But then he didn't say anything about how this invisible union was going to be exactly until he preached the invisible union. I mean, he hinted at things here and there, but in the visible union, he told it plain out what was getting ready to, what was happening. And it was, as Brother Brown said, those revelations were coming on the backside of the desert and he could hardly keep up with them. And I remember at the first of the year, Brother Brown said there was so many things. He said he had to just stay right with the message. He couldn't even, you know, be with the babies. He couldn't go dedicate the babies, even his own grandchildren, he couldn't do. He said he had to just stay right there and study in prayer and ask the Lord just which one to open up and when to open it up. And that whole year was like that. And I mean, not that his whole message wasn't like that, but it was getting greater and greater and greater as time went on. And before we start this morning, I want you to think about something. Now, we talk about us being married to Christ in this hour. But what about Adam? Was Adam married already, married to God? You just think about it. I don't want you to try to answer it for me now, but you just think about it, because we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some other things. But by married, had he said yes or no to God? Because that's, you know, when I'm going to read here in just a minute about the courtship, but when Michael and Martha started courting, it was a time that eventually he asked her to marry him, and she had to say yes or no. And when she said yes, Brother Ram said, that's when you were married. When you commit yourself to one another, that's when you're married. Of course, there's a ceremony, but when you committed yourself to one another, that. So I'm asking you that spiritually about Adam. Had that happened with Adam yet? I just want you to be thinking about that, because the Brother Branham said Adam was behind the word. Didn't say he was the word. Said he was behind the word. And in this day and time, the bride is the word. She is the word. Brother Branham said it more, and we've read it as we went through this series. But it doesn't say Adam was the word. Now, it doesn't mean that God didn't speak Adam and Adam come into existence. But we are finding out that man, just because he's been born, has a long ways before he becomes one with God. And so God created Adam. Adam was God's spoken word. But had he become one with God yet? That's the question. Had he and God mirrored each other yet? Had that took place yet? Because if it had, then how did he turn against God? Because he did. He turned against God. Brother Ram said it in at least three different ways. And so, how could that be? How could it be? So I just want you to think about some of those things, and hopefully we're going to answer those as we go along. Now, let me just read this little piece over which we got started with. Now, we've talked about oneness and the great union of Christ and his bride in this day, and I cannot think of anything greater than being one with God as Jesus was one with God. I can't think of nothing greater, brother, sister, not anything. That would be the greatest privilege to a man to be one with his creator. I can't think of anything greater. So God has been working towards that the whole time. And we talked about how God was enthused when he saw that masterpiece there. How it enthused him, then he struck him. And so I'm thinking about those things every time God makes a step, him getting closer to what he wanted to bring to pass. The message in the Bible proves that God was moving towards that this whole time. It's got a multitude of witnesses when we read a bunch of them here as we went along in this series. But when we start taking a closer look at this union, let's think a little bit like we just made the example now. An earthly union starts with a courtship. And the courtship continues. The closeness between the man and the woman gets greater and greater until there's agreement between the two and they're bound to one another. In this day and time, it don't look like that. But the way God made it, that's the way it was supposed to be. And the man, the male asks and the female says yes or no. Brother Bram talked about that in choosing of a bride. But what does it have to do with the soul? And as we have went along and I said everything we've been talking about is the soul, then this idea of saying yes and no has everything to do with the soul. And the prophet told us that the soul is a free moral agent. And that's what allows man to choose God or Satan. He chooses right or wrong because he has a soul, not because he has a spirit. Animals have a spirit and they can't choose. Animals do not have a soul and could not choose right or wrong, only humans. And so we do not choose with our spirit. We choose right and wrong with our soul. All right, so let's look at this first quote here. I'm sorry, the sniffing has already started. This is before the seals, and this is a strong message, brother, sister. If you ever have time to listen to this is a strong message. He is crying out to Jeffersonville there and whoever was going to listen. Still with tempers, still mean, arrogant, and somebody say something about you and you're right up ready to fight, then born of the Spirit of God? No. God's spirit don't do like that. No, God's spirit is humble, meek, sweet, and long-suffering. That's God. Loving, kind, forgiving, that's God's spirit. Oh, yes. But they'll hold to that denomination. See, instead of holding to God's spirit, they're going to hold to this intellectual denomination and their idea of God. And they'll hold to that denomination, speak in tongues, prophesy, do all kinds of works. And Jesus said they'll do it. Have a form of godliness. Hold to the denomination because that's their father. Now think about that. They're fathered by a lie. They're followed by their intellect. That's where it comes from. And Brother Branham said, everything that has a beginning has to have an end. And that's why when you're following that denomination, if that's your father, you better hope you got another one, because you're going to die with that, because that has to end. Our anything that starts in our intellect has to end. Our intellectual ideas. Hold to that denomination, because that's their father. They're born in that denominational father. They're born in it. But if you're born of God, this is your father. He is the Word. The Word. Now, he just talked about what the difference is in a spirit of God and the spirit of a denomination. And he laid it out pretty plain there. But if you're born of this, of God, this is your father. He is the Word, the Word. No matter how many sensations you have, still a child of Satan until you become dead to the world and alive in Christ. You see that? You have to be dead. This first life that we come into, it's going to end. And so we have to get rid of that one. Because if we stay with that one, just like these people staying with the denomination and the ideas, then we die with it. Because there's no life in there. We know that life comes from the Word, that the Word is actually God, and accepting Him as accepting life. And it makes something different. Whereas accepting these lies makes death. Still a child of Satan till you become dead to the world and alive in Christ. We're alive in Him. Listen quickly now. A soul, good or bad. So there's two kinds of souls. Good ones and bad ones. Death doesn't change it. Whether it's a good soul or a bad soul, it doesn't change it. Brother Ram said, ever how you are, when you die, you stay that way. I had a lot of scripture wrote down here on this one that I wanted to comment on what a soul is. What is a soul? It's you. You are a soul. The part inside of you. And when you die, and he says that more than a few times, I will get to those as we go here in the next few services. And then you die. And when you die, ever what shape that soul's in, that's the way it goes. It goes to its destination. So your soul don't go to a destination. In fact, Brother Bram said when you die, your soul breaks up. Your spirit don't go to the destination. Your soul goes to the destination. Thanks for the help, brother. The soul goes to its destination, not the spirit. Brother Bram said the spirit breaks up. And we're going to hit that a little more here in just a little bit. And Brother Ram said, before there was a spirit, there was a soul. Amen. He said all these things. What is a soul? It's you. You are a soul. The part inside of you. And when you die, ever what shape that soul's in, that's the way it goes. It goes to its destination. You couldn't pull it up no matter how much you do for it. That soul's got to be changed here, born again. And Brother Ram said, you remember that scripture where it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? You know what Brother Ram said about that? He said, you will either do that here or you will do it in hell. And what did he just say? Whatever shape it's in. The soul's got to be changed here. So will you bow your knee here or will you bow it in hell? But you will bow it. Amen. The soul, now remember, good or bad, death doesn't have one thing to do with it. The death of this body has nothing to do with the soul. Just changes its destination. Death takes it to its destination. You see, you hear it. And if you still got the world and the love of the world in it, if the love of the world is in that soul, not in the spirit, in the soul, the love of the world in it, it'll die with you because the world must die. So This first soul is a product of this world. It's a product of the natural life. It's a product of the fall that went on. And so it's going to go with it. It's a part of the cosmos. It's a part of the chaos. It's a part of the stuff that's going on in this world nowadays. The reason everybody's got 900,000 ideas. And it's the reason we're at the end of this creation that we're living in. And if that world's in you, you'll die with that world. My, I don't see how it could be any plainer. See, if it's good, born of God, it has to go to God. If it's of the world, it will remain and perish with it, with the world. If it's of God, it'll live with God. Educated or not educated, educated or illiterate, if the world is still here, I mean, if the world is still there, it must die. Because it had a beginning. That life had a beginning. It had a beginning down there at the fall, and the lies of Satan and the fall that took place. That's where it had its beginning. I'm not going to get in a hurry this morning. I'm not going to do it. You're a part of the dead world. And as the world is dead, you're dead with the world. But if you're born again, you're alive with Christ, and your affections is on things above and not on things of the world. So a while ago, he was talking about their father was that denomination. And now he's talking here. He said, but if your affections are on the things of the world and not on God, it's the same thing. See, you're a product of this world. And every one of us is born that way, a product of this world. But if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you become a part of God and are eternally with Him. Then death cannot touch you when you're born again. So when this body leaves, it's not going to hurt you. You are eternal. You have changed from a creature of time to a creature of eternity. So that first creation was a creation of time. It had a time limit on it. Because it had a beginning, it was going to have an end. And I know we went over some of these things, but I want to get this on tape and get it laid out here so that if we have questions, we can come back to it. And then if somebody questions something or they find something I said is wrong, then you come to me. I want to, like y'all heard me say that wrong this morning. I appreciate that so much. You've changed from a creature of time to a creature of eternity. So one soul is a creature of time. The other soul is a creature of eternity. A creature of eternity. You have changed from death unto life. I've talked about eternal. From eternal death to eternal life. If you're of the world, you die here with it. And so now I want you to realize that you, Chris Osborne, or you, Amanda, or you, Sister Rebecca, any of y'all, that you are a soul, a spirit, and a body. That's a creation. Your soul is a creation. Your spirit is a creation. Your body is a creation. All of that. It's going to come forth. All of that's going to come forth one day, glorified and in the theophany and how it's supposed to be. But it hasn't been that way. Until today, when it starts to become that way. And we'll get to that. I guess I'm trying to get ahead of myself. Where was I again? Right here, creature of eternity. If you're of the world, you'll die with it. The Bible said in John, if you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God's not even in you. You can't love the world. The world is of the time. it's of this time. It's all going to go down. And we can't love it. And Jesus said, you can't love God and mammon. And mammon is the world. You can't love the world and God at the same time. You can't do it. You're either married to one or you're married to the other. And he that says he loves me and keeps not my sayings, that's the Bible. He's a liar. And the truth's not even in him. There you are. All right, so let's pick up. We're going to go a little bit further over here, and let's pick up in 1962. The woman at the well was convinced that he was the Messiah. When she had seen that scriptural sign, that she knew what Messiah was going to be. How did she know that? All them people around there, and this woman, married five times, was having to come to the water fountain when the other women had already come because she couldn't come with them. I'm trying to tell you how low the world saw her as. And then the high Pharisees and stuff. But somehow or another, she knew it. It had nothing to do with her intellect. Nothing at all to do with her intellect. She heard the words with her intellect, but that, when she heard it, struck something else. And Brother Branham's talking about that right now. When she had seen that scriptural sign, that she knowed what Messiah was going to be, as I said this morning, the predestinated life laying there. That's what it struck. As soon as she, it, warm waters toward the cool waters, rather, poured down upon that word of life that God had predestinated from the foundation of the world, she seen it. Think about that. Because God, Jesus Christ was the word. He was just pouring out the word. Every scripture in the Bible was walking around in shoe leather amongst these people. He was pouring out. How in the world can Jesus walk by Simon and say, come follow me? What? He didn't say anything that the intellect would have attached itself to. But there was something about him when he spoke, when he walked. It didn't. Peter couldn't answer it. And by it was struck something down in his heart. Somewhere it was predestinated that Peter was going to hear them words, come follow me. And for some reason he was going to get up and leave his job and walk after Jesus. Still not born again. But something took place there. Despite the condition he was in, despite that little woman's condition or position she was in, despite any of it, God's word was still going to take place. No matter what Satan had done to the world, no matter what condition it was in, God's word was still going to take place. It was still there. Brother Ram said you were an attribute and you came anyway. When Satan messed up God's way, you still come anyways. And so God was still going to bring you. That's the way God intended to bring us. The cool waters rather poured down upon that word of life and God that God had predestinated from the foundation of the world, and she seen it. Brother Branham snaps his finger quickly as that. When there was ministers there didn't see it, priests that didn't see it, high priest didn't see it, great clergyman didn't see it, called it a devil. And that poor little harlot out there, God had predestinated that from the foundation of the world. If you're ever there, you were too. If you're ever there, you were too. Foundation. Predestinated before the foundation of the world. Brother Bram speaks very conversational, and it's hard to read when somebody speaks conversational. If you went and read that, they don't get the punctuation right at all. I mean, they really try. But if you go listen, a lot of times it is nothing like the way they have it punctuated. I'm sure y'all English people, if you know English good, you would see that. So let's go over into 1963, souls that are in prison now. Now, we're going to spend the majority of the rest of the time in here, but we're going to jump out to another message or two as we go. And we're just getting started today, so hang with me if I'm saying things and you're like, where did he get that from? Or where, why is he saying that? So just hang with me. Now, the soul of man is not the body of man. It's the soul, see? And the soul is something that's the nature of the spirit. And then when the nature of a man, when he said we are dead, the scripture plainly tells us that we're dead. So that first life's dead. That part of us that was in this cosmos, it was in this world, it was a part of it, it's dead. And now the lives that we have are actually hid in Christ, he says. Our lives are hid in God through Christ, sealed there by the Holy Spirit. Now, it wasn't that your body died. It wasn't your spirit that died. It was the nature of your spirit died. See, the nature, which is the soul. The nature of your soul is God. Now, he changed gears there real quick. Now, he's talking about the nature of the spirit. And now he goes straight and starts talking about the nature of your soul. So we just talked about that soul being a free moral agent. And so we talked about there was good souls and bad souls. And we talked about how the bad one come to be there in the garden. What happened? Adam had not been married. He was not married to anybody at that point. Not to Satan, not to God. Because Brother Branham said God put them in the garden. If you can look at this in Marriage and Divorce, you can look at it in Who's Melchizedek. There's several different messages where he talks about it. He put them in the garden and put them on free moral agency and couldn't make them do. So they weren't married to him and they weren't married to Satan. It was their choice to do as human beings, their choice to make. That's what a free moral agent is. And then once you've made your choice, once you say yes or no, if you say yes to Satan, we saw what happened. He said yes to Satan. He took Satan's idea of this thing, took his wife back when he wasn't supposed to. And now he died because of that. And we're, because of that, we're all born under that same lie, under that same sex thing that happened there. We're all born under that. And so that's where the bad ones come from. And now the nature of your soul is God. Now, why would he have to specify that? Unless the nature of your soul can change, can be different. Now, I'm not talking that, you know, we're not talking about God making your soul, this corrupt one that you're born with, cleaning it up and making it good and new like that. I'm not talking about that. But there was a time when man was not married to either Satan or God. And that was what Adam was at, was there. Now, he plainly says it. Now, I'm going to read it to you later on, but just hang with me. The nature of our soul is God if you're born again. If it's not, it's of the world. And Satan can't create. So we know how that comes. Anything that begin has an end. See, there he's talking about if you're not born of God, then it has, your soul has to end. That's because it had a beginning at that lie right there. At that lie and that twisting of the word is where it had its beginning. Anything that began has to end. So therefore, the only way that you can have eternal life is to have a life that never did begin. So if that soul's nature is God, that means you have God's life there. But if it's not, that means you have a perverted life. And that perverted life has to end. I hope that makes sense. You can do like this if you feel inspired to do that. That'd be nice. Now, it wasn't that your body died. It wasn't your spirit died. The nature. I'm sorry. I'm getting on back down here. The nature of your soul is God if you're born again. If it's not, it's of the world. Anything that began has to end. As soon as he talked about the nature being of the world, he went right straight to, if it has a beginning, it has to end. So God made Adam and Eve there, and they were able to fall. They were able to do something that no other people is able to do. We're born already corrupted. They had a choice whether or not to corrupt themselves or not. Now, when God has given us a choice, because he come and died now. So even in our corrupted state, even in our perverted place that we're how we're born, we still now we have the choice of Christ. And we can come out of it because we have that choice. But as long as we stay here with our own ideas and our own thoughts, we keep that old soul. We stay under that same covenant that Adam was under. Because Adam was put under that covenant. He said, if you'll keep my commandments, Adam, if you don't do this and mess with this tree over here, then everything, you'll be fine. But if you do, you're going to die. And Adam touched it. Adam done it. After Eve done it. We can talk about the logistics all you want to. But they both failed. They both turned against God. And so, I don't want us to miss that. The nature is, okay, I'm sorry I keep losing my place. And the life, and your life did begin when you were born. When God breathed the breath of life into your nostrils and you become a living soul, then you begin then. Now, he's not talking about when you're born again. He's talking about when you're born earthly. And that one has to end. If something don't happen, if you don't bow your knee somewhere in your life, that nature that was in you, by nature you was of the world, alienated from God. You were actually an animal. That's exactly right. Anyone knows that you are a mammal. How many knows that? You are a mammal. You're a warm-blooded animal. But that is what we are by earthly creation. By earthly creation, we were alienated from God. Soul, spirit, body, totally. Brother Bram said we're a triune being. So you can't pinpoint one and say it was this or that. We're gone. Earthly creation, it's gone. If we stay with it, we're gone with it. But you see, what made us different from other mammals, that God put a soul upon us. Now, the other mammals didn't have to wear clothes. And other mammals didn't have to wear clothes. No other animal has to wear clothes to hide his shame but us. We're the ones, the only ones that does, because we have a soul. But see, God in the beginning knew what a man would be like. And he created the earth and brought up all kinds of animals from the very lowest to the highest. And the highest animal to come forth was a man. And then first man was made. He was a spirit man in the image of God, which God is a spirit. St. John 4, now he is a spirit. And they that worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, do we worship God with our human spirit? No, you don't. Brother Bram said that thing is at enmity with God. He said it more than gave example of when his wife died and his son and his daughter died, how Satan crept in there and convinced his flesh and then convinced his spirit. And Brother Bram said, I was about to say, when something down in there said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be his name. So we worship God with our soul, not with our spirit. And so that's why I'm pointing this out. They worship him in spirit and in truth. Because if it was with our spirit, and these people, Brother Bram said, that are falsely anointed, they had the spirit, the Holy Spirit, on their human spirit. If that was okay, then what he's saying here would be wrong. They are worshiping in spirit and in truth. All right, so let's just keep on here. Worship him in spirit and in truth, and thy word is the truth. Now we worship him in spirit and in truth. He is a spirit being. Then there was no man to till the soil, and God formed man out of the dust. So this spirit man that he created first, that was an image of God, done all these things, but now he's going to make a man and put this spirit in him. And when he taken from his side a byproduct, a rib, and from that separated this man, which had a dual nature, which was both feminine and masculine, and he had taken the feminine out because it was love, and he placed it into a person called Eve, that Adam called Eve, which was his wife. That's where his love, natural filial love, held to his wife. See, that's what caused him to fall. Brother Ram said, not his agape love. His agape love would have kept him attached to Christ, kept him attached to God. But his filial love for her, he went with her. He couldn't let her be lost like that. That was the type of Christ. I'm not arguing that. But here's what Brother Ram said. That's where his love, natural filial love, held to his wife. That's the way a man should be today, and her back to her husband. The man, the masculine, the woman, and the feminine. And then see, all after he done made man in his own image, created he them, male and female. Now you see how when he says so many times that he's created man in his image, that you can think he's exactly what God is. Because you can interpret it to mean that. And Brother Ram said it reflected him. It did. As long as he stayed behind the word, it reflected God. It does not mean he was God yet. He was not one with God yet. Created he them, male and female. There was no man to till the soil, and he put him in the dust of the earth, and therefore he was that man. This human man was mammal. See, he was an animal. But he put this spirit of God alive into him and made him on the basis that he could have a choice. So God gave him life and did not marry him, did not become one with him. You see what I'm saying when I say that? If God and you are one and then you come against God's word, that's absolutely against everything that Brother Branham taught us. He said so many times that these people were married to their denominations because they weren't born again. All these different things that he said. And so when I'm saying Adam could not have come against God, but he did. No matter, and that's why I was so hard about that before, about Adam not sinning. If you sit down on that and you say Adam didn't sin, then you've locked yourself out of what I'm trying to tell you. You locked yourself out of the last year of the message nearly, because you won't believe what he said to us. That message kept opening and opening and opening and opening right to the end, brother and sister. God took him off the scene at the precise time. The last thing had gotten open and he was done. All he needed to say through that man, he said it. And he took him. And it was done. But it opened up right to the end. And if we're sons and daughters of God, we'll follow it right to the end as it's opening up into us the same way. All right. Now I'm getting to a controversial quote here in just a minute. So I want you to not miss what I have said so far. Because it's controversial because it's hard to understand. And I've read these other quotes for a reason, and we'll see it here in just a minute. That's all. All because dust thou art. I'm sorry, I skipped way down here. Okay, so this is to back up what we've been saying about God marrying himself to you, by you saying yes or no and receiving God. Let's see what he says about how a man is made. For instance, when a man gets saved, he just, like that light that comes into him, is about this little white button on my shirt. That's when God comes into the inner part of a man. This light comes in and enters into an inner part of a man. So what is that inner part? Brother Ram wants to explain it to us. So he uses the temple that the Jews used to have and how it was laid out to explain how that is with man. A man is made up in a system of a tabernacle. In the outer courts, and then the holy place, and then the holiest of holies. The Shekinah glory on the inside, the veil. So he's talking about this light that come into this inner part of the man. Where did it go? When it's talking about in the respect, you know, as a temple. Where did it go inside the temple? Now on the outside gates of the man is five senses that enters into his body. So out here in the outer courts, there's five ways to get into this thing. See, taste, feel, smell, hear, you know, all the our senses. And that's, he's telling us exactly how you got into that one. Now, we want to know how that light got into what part. Because he said the inner part. So we want to be sure what he's talking about, right? So he's saying in order to get into this outer court, it has to be one of these five senses. So that this light is not one of your five senses. So he's not talking about this outer court. The soul is the nature of the spirit that's on the inside of his heart. Produces his soul. What makes this atmosphere around him that has also five entrances? Now he's not talking about the soul has five entrances, because this is in 1961 and he cleared it up at least several other times, talking about the spirit has five entrances, not the soul. So he said the soul is the nature of the spirit, and he led right in and said it has five entrances. So I'm not trying to explain it away. I'll read it to you later. Then on the inside, he has only one gate. So there's the outer gates, and then there's the inner one, and then there's the Shekinah glory inside behind the veil. And on the inside of, he has only one gate, one entrance into that Shekinah glory. So that Shekinah glory went in somewhere else. It went in down into that innermost man, where God can enter into him and take over in the control tower. So God comes and enters into that soul, that life, Brother Bram said, that comes down and enters into this inner part of the man, comes into that. And if you go back and read about the temple, we went over this in one of the other messages. Brother Bram said that Shekinah glory went down behind that veil of the animals and consumed that offering that was down in there. It killed it. It was gone. And then it was just the Shekinah there. It was the life of God on the inside of that soul. Shekinah glory. When God can enter into him and take over in this control tower. And that way is through self-will. Self-will, free moral agency, all that's the same thing. Brother Ram said you had a will to do what you wanted. Whether you will to or not, that's up to you. Excuse me. But that's the only avenue that's open to man that God can come into his heart is by self-will. So the only way that God can come into you, now this is what he's saying in 1961, to come in and be one with you and take over in the control tower is to come in through that soul, because that's where you can let him in or not. Now Adam and Eve had that. They could let him in or not let him in. But you have to do something a little bit different, because you've already fallen. Adam and Eve had not fallen. And I'm going to read it to you here in just a minute. Whether you will or not, that's up to you. That's what the only avenue that's open to the man that God can come into his heart is by self-will. puts you right back like Adam and Eve on the free moral agency again. See, by God dying for us, that's what it done. We can now make that choice for him. You can choose right or wrong either way you want to, because God's put it before us. So I put this quote in here so that I hadn't quoted it before, but Brother Bram says, the last man, which is the soul, there's only one sense that controls that. That's the free moral agent's free will to choose or reject. So the soul has an inlet. Something can go into this soul or not. You can receive something in the soul or not. And even after they'd fallen, they could still receive something or not. But there wasn't anything, there wasn't salvation for them to receive until Christ come. I mean, there was word in every age, and they had to receive that word in every age. But I'm talking about salvation and freedom from that. All right, so souls that are in prison now. We think we're something. Just remember, what are we? Clod of dirt. That's all. And because dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. So when you see this man walking down the street, thinks he's somebody, you know he's got a little education and things. Remember, it's a clod of Indiana dirt. That's all. And that woman that's all dressed in shorts and smoking cigarettes and carrying on down the street, twisting like she owned the whole country, it's a clod of Indiana dust, and that's the way it's turning back. So you are not very much to begin with, see? That's right. That's what you are. But the soul that's in there, see, that soul is what God is working on. See? If he can only get that nature, that spirit, to agree with him, then that nature dies. If he could get that nature to agree with him in the way most people think, that he says this is right and agrees. He says this is wrong and it agrees. If he could get that to happen, do you think he'd need to kill it? Why would he need to kill it? Why would he need to destroy it? It says right here, if he can get it to agree with him, then that nature dies. So what is he talking about when he says agree with him? He's not trying to get that thing to agree that it's right or wrong, or he wouldn't have to kill it. He's trying to tell it that it's wrong. And if you've been born again, it's because you accepted that. Because of you being born again, you accepted that you're wrong, that you're born wrong, and that you're in this condition. And that's what he's trying to do. Brother Brown said he's trying to work on that nature. And how is he doing that? He's doing it by striking that predestination. And it breaks this thing down. This old world can't take this. This is God taking place. And it can't take it. It's the same thing that caused that woman at the well to recognize Christ. It's the same thing that took place. It's the way he could use Moses in part. It's the way he could use each one in part. And it's the same reason why he could use Jesus completely and totally how he wanted to. There was nothing in that to deal with. But now if he could get this old soul is the one he's talking about. If he can get it to agree with him, then it dies. And the nature and the love of the world dies. And the things of the world is dead. So he's not talking about your human spirit. He's talking about the soul. It's a spiritual thing that's taking place. Now I'm going to prove this in just a minute in case there's a doubt. See? To agree with him, then that nature dies. The nature and the love of this, because what did we just say at the beginning of the service? You will bow your knee to him here, or you will do it in hell. So I don't care where you are, that soul is going to bow and say God is right and it was wrong. And if we do it here, we have predestination. If they wait there, it's not going to be any good for us. Because if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. God's not going to enter that soul. He's not going to do it. It's corrupted. It's polluted. It's certainly not the Shekinah. It's not the veil to enter behind. The word of the love of the God is not even in you, see? And the man must be born again. See, this nature has to die, and the nature of God comes and lives in you. The nature of God comes and lives in you. And God is the only thing there is that never did begin or never can end. All right, so I said I was going to prove to you about what he's saying. So let's read this from I Have Heard, But Now I See. St. Mark 14, we see a woman believed on him, and she had need and seen he had need for his feet to be washed. And he's talking about this prostitute woman. She had need to be, his feet need to be washed, and she had need. And she had only to be inspired to go into action. Now, that wasn't her old soul that got inspired right there. That was predestination taking over despite her condition. Just like that other little woman. Just like the one that was on the cross beside of him that said, remember me when you come into your kingdom today. That was predestination. That wasn't he just got intellectually convinced. If it was, then the word would not have spoke back to him and say, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now listen closely. Before we close, she only had to be inspired to go into action because she had already heard about him. She heard that he forgave a woman of her sins, a harlot, and said, which one of you is without sin? Cast the first stone. Here was a priest that wasn't like any of these other priests. And for some reason, that stirred her soul. A prostitute. She'd heard all these other priests, Sadducees, Pharisees. I mean, they read in the street. They did all their pomp and circumstance all the time. But none of them stirred her. But this one stirred her. When he said and stood for this a harlot and told her he'd forgive her sins. Which one of you is without sin? Cast the first stone. She'd heard about him, but now she's seen him. She'd heard that, and that thrilled her heart. She hadn't even got to look at him yet. But now she come and saw him, and she saw how they was treating him at that feast. They hadn't washed his feet, and they put him over in a corner. And she saw it. It wasn't an accident that she wandered by, brother and sister. Our lives are not accidents. If you do, it'll never do you any good if you bypass the scripture. I'm sorry, I jumped down to the wrong place there. That's the only thing you have to be is inspired, he says. Let the Holy Spirit tell you that you're a sinner. Let the Holy Spirit tell you you are a sinner. Now, he's not talking to the predestination when he says that, is he? And what did he say? What is the soul that sinneth? The soul that sinneth shall surely die. So what is he talking to? He's talking to that soul when he says that. He said, let the Holy Spirit tell you you're a sinner. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit tell you you're wrong. Let the Holy Spirit prove to you that you're scripturally wrong. Let it do it. Not that you're going to be able to believe the right thing. Not that you're going to be able to clean that thing up. But you're going to have to bend that knee. And because of predestination, you will bend that knee. You will let it tell you you're wrong. And that's when the change will come. And what cause it'll only stir through one channel of every scripture of God. See, it won't bypass for nothing. If you do, it'll never do you any good because the Holy Spirit can inspire you to it. But if that soul isn't right with God, as we've been through this week, and that's when he talked about quite a few things. And he'd preached anointed ones at the end time way before this, but he just bared down on it through this series. Remember false anointed ones that rise in the last days, not false Jesuses, false Christ anointed ones, and will deceive the very elected if it was possible. See what he's doing? If the soul isn't right, they're baptized with this Holy Ghost, but the soul isn't right. So it's not doing them any good. All right, so now we're going to pick back up in souls that are in prison again. Because I wanted to not just leave that hanging. I wanted to, that's a very misunderstood quote. And so I wanted to talk about it and let you see as much as the Lord showed me on it for now. And we'll just move on from there. Let him, you know, just let him open up whatever else he wants to say. So therefore, he has partnership, you see, and taken this man earthly and this eternal spirit and put it together. Because God reflected himself back in that, that he become a man when he become Jesus Christ. He was God, see. God was in Christ. That, see, lived in him, reconciling the world to himself. And through that perfect man, none of the other ones could do it. This was the culmination of the promise he gave Abraham, was Jesus Christ coming on the scene. This was that fulfillment of this new covenant that was being brought into place right here. And that's what he's talking about. Through that perfect man, no other man could have brought this new covenant. There was a new covenant coming. He'd been bringing it since Abraham. We've been bringing it the whole time, but that's when he introduced it. God was in Christ, and through that perfect man, each one of us imperfect that believe in God, we bow our knee and accepted that, becomes the perfection of him. And he never left his body, see corruption. Neither did he leave his soul in hell, but raised him up on the third day, and he's alive forevermore. And we will have a body like his own glorious body. That's why we're baptized in his name, that we might come forth in his name, in his death, in his resurrection, that we rise again, testifying to the world that we have new life. And the old man is dead. We have this new covenant. God has brought it to us. And I was talking to Brother Glenn the other day, and he said, we got something completely different from what they had. I said, amen, brother, that's the truth. This is the Lamb's Book of Life being brought to pass. This is God bringing that to pass, the eternal to pass. Not the part that led up to that. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ in his people, as his people. It's something completely different than that. He's not working with the natural man no more. The old man is dead. We got that new life. We buried that first nature, see? We buried it. The first nature is gone, and now we are the nature of him. We're a son and daughter now that's born pure in the way God meant for it to be. He was going to share eternal life through who? Through Jesus Christ. Through that covenant, the I will covenant, not through the I if you will covenant. That's not the way he was going to share eternal life. And so we have it, and it proves that that's the truth, because it comes through Christ. He buried that first nature. We buried that first nature. The first nature is gone, and now we are the nature of him. He lives in us, and we don't do our own will. Listen, our own will has been put to bed. It's gone. We're dead. That's dead, and we're alive in Christ. We do his will. We don't think our own thoughts. The mind is what thinks. The mind is was in Jesus Christ is a in every believer. Brother and sister, that is a huge statement. Because now if the mind that was in Christ is in every believer, then you can know when God wants this to be done or that to be done or not to do. You know what he wants you to speak, when he wants you to be quiet, everything. That's what we're growing into now. See, there is the soul. That's what we're speaking of. The mind. Now, did you catch that?
Amen.
The mind that was in Jesus Christ is in every believer. See, there is the soul. That's what we're speaking of. Now, the one that chooses right and wrong. That's what's in you now. The real one. The real life of God. That's what we're speaking of. Now, that's the part that I'm thinking of now. That's within us, the soul. Now, if we notice in this, there's many things that happen sometime, and we wonder why they happen. Now, he's not leaving the subject. Keep watching. Now, we've talked about today about bending your knee or not bending your knee. We've talked about how that God was in part in Moses. He was in part in Daniel. He was in part in these different ones. But in Christ, he was not in part. So now, look what he starts talking about, shadowing, and the things that happen to us, and we question a lot of things. Now, he just got through talking about the soul. Now, we notice in this, there's many times that things that happen sometime, and we wonder why they happen. We question ourselves, and we question others. But finally, after a while, we find out that if we're Christians, all things work out just right, somehow. You've seen that. All Christians see that. We wonder why it did it. I wonder sometimes when I first read the Bible, why did God let Abraham, that great man, ever stand there and say that Sarah wasn't his wife? In Abraham in part, see? That stand there and say that that Sarah wasn't his wife. And how that he let him stand there and lie about that, and the things that he did, and then how that he would ever let Abraham leave the promised land where he told him not to leave, and a Jew that leaves the promised land is backslid because God gave that to them and promised them to stay there, see, and they left it. So he went down into Gerar. But if it hadn't have been that, And then Abimelech, the king down there in the Philistine country, fell in love with Sarah. So Brother Branham is saying, why did he go to Gerar to start with? Not just because he went down there and lied when he got down there, but he was wrong to even go down there to start with. That's what he's saying. That's the kind of things that I don't catch until the prophet points them out, for sure. Then Abimelech, the king down there in the Philistine country, fell in love with Sarah and was going to marry her and was a good man, a righteous man. And after he, and that sounds ridiculous, but to make it real to you, after he'd had his evening bath and put on his pajamas and said his prayers and went to bed, the Lord appeared to him and said, "You're just as good as a dead man." And the man had done nothing. See, he was absolutely deceived by both Abraham and Sarah. That's right. He said, "You've got another man's wife, see, and I won't hear your prayers no matter how much you pray. You're as good as dead, but that man is my prophet, see." See, it's hard to understand, see. But if it wasn't that, we wouldn't know what grace was. And God wanted to show us what grace was. Everything that happens to us, Brother Branham says, is building that character. The character of God, the things that we suffer and the things that we go through. Why did he go and marry Hagar after having a lovely wife like Sarah? And he didn't want to do it, see? And Sarah told him, and the Lord told him, "You listen to what your wife told you." Why? There had to be an Ishmael that the bondsman and her child would not be heir with the free woman and her child. See what I mean? All these things are types. And why did the prophet have to marry a prostitute with these children, have two children by her as a sign? Why did one lay on his right side for 340 days and then laid so many days on the other side like that as a sign? One stripped his clothes and walked before Israel And now all those things, it was types and shadows, see, and we have those things to fill in. See, they give us understanding. God let these things, he took these things that Satan was able to pull off and get Abraham to lie, or these different things, and then he used them to teach us. See, he worked all things together for good. And many times things happen to us that we wonder why it is. And it's God foreshadowing us something. So whatever happens in your life, do not think, oh, God left me, God's forsook me, God's this, that. If you're staying right with that word as much as you know, and you're staying right with God, don't you worry. He's got you under his wing. Everything's going to be fine. We've read today about the predestination. Even the things that seem to go wrong, they're just foreshadowing something. Just as we said the last message, sometimes God lets these things happen to show us where we need to build up, you know, where we need to be stronger, where we need to cut something off that we haven't cut off. And he just shows us these things. He lets these things happen so that we'll see where there's holes in the defense, where we've maybe compromised on something, little something, somewhere. You know, Brother Holmes used to say that the little fox spoils the vine. You think about that. It's the little thing. He's not going to get you in the he's not going to take you down to the red light district. No, he's going to show you some half-naked woman somewhere along here, and you'll look at her a little too long, and then he'll take you a little further and a little further and a little further, and you'll be in the red light district. You weren't going there. But God lets those, I hope nobody went to the red light district. I'm just giving you an example. So, but what I'm saying is he lets things happen sometimes to show you there's a hole there. Why? Why would you have waited and looked at that filth of the world too long? Why? Why would you have done that? So he's just trying to show you the holes there that's in your experience with him. He's showing you that you haven't died yet. He's gracious because he wants you to be dead. He wants you to bow your knee and be dead to this world. So I hope I didn't, we didn't answer the question of whether Adam was married yet, although we're pretty close. We talked a whole lot about Adam that I'm going to talk about some more in the next couple services, but I think we can finish up in the next two or three services on this. And I appreciate y'all sticking with me. And I know I had like almost three times this. And my battle is cutting off until I got one little something to talk about. And then I think y'all don't want to hear some little something. You want more than that. And so then I'm got more than I need. And so I end up sometimes bringing a little too much, I'm sure. But if you got questions, please ask me questions. That's what the message is about, to talk to one another about it, to share God, and when Satan, he can confuse our minds. And if we hear things wrong, if that little woman had heard it wrong, when the priest said what she said about what the priest said about the prophet when he come in Isaiah 9:6, and the son, and who it's unto us the son is given. If she'd heard that wrong, then she never could have got it. You see, but once she heard it, it was done. See, because it was the truth. Before that, it's not the truth. That predestination is not going to respond to anything that's not the truth. And that's what I'm trying to say. And so we don't want to just let them go. We're living in a late hour, brother and sister. I don't know if y'all been paying any attention to the Pacific. There's volcanoes going off in the Pacific, massive volcanoes going off in the Pacific. And they're talking about the one up in Yellowstone. The whole earth for so many miles around is raising like this and then going back down. And then raising like this. And they call that what they call a mammoth volcano. If that thing, it goes off like every 250,000 years, and when it does, it coats the earth and kills just about everything. And all these earthquakes up and down California that's been going on for years, and then you see earthquakes all along the other side. Well, if you go looking at those plates and how they're set up in there, you see one of these reaction over here, and then you see a reaction over here, and you see another one there, and then you see a volcano go off in the middle. We don't go by signs, but we see the condition of this world. We see it, and we know what the prophet said. And so we're seeing, we're living in the hour that if we have questions, we shouldn't just let them go. We shouldn't just let the question go and not care. And so I don't know everything. I mean, you might ask me a question I don't know. Brother Don might know the answer to it. I'm sure Brother Goomba and Brother Don knows the mysteries and stuff better than I do. And I mean, they've been on the field, and they've been before the question squads and stuff before. So I may not know it. So don't ask just me. But what I'm saying is, if there's questions, and you know if you got a question, you know if something's bothering you and you got a question. I'm not talking about some intellectual something that this irritates you or that irritates you or something like that. But I'm talking about something in the Word that you really want to know and want to understand. All right, well, let's stand. I'm...